This is Navigate with ID Enang.
Well, friends, welcome. Good afternoon, and I believe you are fine and keeping well. We are grateful to God for keeping us alive. That we cannot in any way take for granted. I hope you are fine, keeping well, yours truly. And we're here to share knowledge, to be able to share our thoughts, and also learn from each other. What a day and what a time. Coming into the studio, I met one of my good friends, one of the members of the Mega Electrics team, and we're talking, and I said to him, I said, COVID has come in the form of a blessing. If you take away all the seeming, the bad side or the downside is the fact that people are dying. That is the sad part. But beyond that other reach, you'll find it's helped to reset us on a platform. You know, people, there are many naysayers. This is not possible, can never happen. Mm-hmm. In my time, those things people said can never happen are happening right now. It's not possible. If you ever to say to someone last year that you'll have a wedding where there'll be less than 10 people, or it's going to be done on Zoom, they'll tell you, forget it.
Of course. It
will never happen. Not my wedding. I need a society wedding. And I was telling one of my bros, I said, I don't know why you're wasting time. You see this reception here? It's so small and can take your wedding. All it takes is to have both parents, the witnesses, yourself and your spouse, and then the cameraman, 10. They shoot, and guess what? 100,000, you've conducted your wedding. But many people are spending tens, hundreds, thousands of millions. That's just to celebrate what? Just half a day or one day or 2 days. And after that, they tell you, I can't live with him. I can't stand him. I can't stand her. And they walk away. But COVID has reset all our brains. But hey, whatever it is, just learn to abase and abound and make the best of a very good situation. I hope you're in that kind of space as we consider looking through the lens of making life count. As I step into today's episode, I would like to graciously thank, I'm going to be reading from a particular book and also notes that I took. Three of my very good abros gave me a present in January 2019, and the book is titled Principles by Dalio. And they said, Uncle ID, Happy New Year. Thank you for being a man of principles we can emulate. Love the Jesus Gang. And January 2019. And it's something I'd been reading and taking notes copiously. I didn't realize that some of the things I talked about, had come out of, I didn't realize that it was put in a different perspective. And so today, I'd like to share from this and to bring out some practical aspects, especially while we're talking about life principles. And next week, Tuesday, is going to be it's going to take a different shape. I'm going to utilize Bible characters. So I'm going to be using the Bible as my reference book, like I'm using Ray Dalio's principles today, and I'm going to get stories from there, the kind of stories I will tell you about clues. There are secret clues, cryptic clues, cryptic. Cryptic means something that is secret, that is, you're not going to see it. But God has ordained some of these things to happen. So, for example, I gave the story of David going to Ziklag, and then we're going to talk about that. That David and the experience at Ziklag, he went on that journey not realizing that his whole family, the families of all his men, will be taken away by the Amalekites. But guess what? He came back and he asked God, should I pursue? Should I go after these people? And he said, yes, of course, pursue. Overtake and recover all. I'm telling you what I'm going to be telling you on Tuesday. And he went in that power and that might. But here's what was instructive. He had 600 people, he took 400 and left 200. When Abraham was going to rescue his nephew Lot, he had 300 people, he left 200. So there's something significant about leaving people back at the back end. But more importantly, he met that Egyptian. The man he met on the street, on the road, had been there for 3 days, 3 nights. he was famished. But rather than David passing him, he decided to give him food, water, raisins, etc., etc. And the guy pointed him to where the guys who took his entire family, clan, kindred to. And of course, the rest is history. Why am I saying this? When we talk about living a legacy-filled life, when we talk about making life count, it's not about you. Many times, when you consider others, you are actually helping yourself because you are actually leading yourself into that space. And so, if you follow me on that same trajectory, I want to bring some principles that I noted, that I gleaned from that book. And some of them are things that I've actually written down in times past, and I'd like to share them with you. Let's see how we can make this walk through for us. Now, the first thing I want you to understand, that you need to think for yourself to decide, number one, what you want, number two, and what is true. And if I was to take number three, what you should do to achieve one in light of two, and the necessity of doing that in humility and open-mindedness. So many times people do not decide on what they want. They also didn't decide on what is true. Why? Because what is standing before them is jaded. Jaded in the sense that they might choose to see black as black, or see black as white, or white as black, or some see a blend, gray. What is true is true. Truth is truth. Truth is an accurate understanding of reality. Truth, T-R-U-T-H, is the essential foundation for any good outcome. So anything that is not truth, it takes a matter of time, will become falsehood. But when the arrow of truth shoots, there can never be a trace of falsehood. And so, where am I leading us on this journey? In living a legacy-filled life, there are certain things we need to do differently. Number one, you need to be open-minded and radically transparent. What does this really mean? Open-mindedness. I started about talking about the impact of COVID. There are some people, as I speak to you now, who are still sitting and saying to themselves, when COVID goes, then I will then, when COVID leaves, when we go back to, they are still waiting and believing that COVID is just a messenger, a passenger. Yes, it is going to fizzle out, but that disease will be in existence. It can't be wiped out totally because it's being controlled by forces beyond you and I. It's almost the same as saying that they are going to cut off flu, or they are going to cut off all the things that the immune system will always project or reject. It's not possible. We have to manage ourselves within this new reality. But with that said, if you do not approach it with an open mind and be radically transparent about what you do and how you do it, you may fall victim. The need for open-mindedness and transparency is to pave the way for rapid learning and effective change. If your learning will come with rapidity, and then the effects of the change you are going through will come, you need your heart and mind to be open, and you need to be transparent about what you do. The first thing that will happen to many people is that they are locked in. They are not open-minded, they are set in their ways, and because they are set in their ways, they'll rather than be transparent, they want to hide. When you start hiding, then you are keeping darkness as your neighbor. Everything that is not good sits in the dark. When I mean everything that is not good, when a man's heart is dark, the man does not see any essence of light. The man can't project light. But when light enters, darkness goes away. How do I know? If you are heartless and you do not have compassion, then it means that you do not have what it takes to have a heart of gold, or a heart that is caring, compassionate, there are people that walk around, see others suffer. There are employers today who have not paid people their salaries. There are employers today who have not, by reason of the things happening, extended some measure to support their staff. Yet, they keep saying business is not okay. Yet, they are living lives like large. Living their lives large. Their kids are living large. But some other person who is working for you, he or she is being denied an opportunity. Then you tell me it's about living a legacy-filled life. The answer is no. It's because you are not transparent. The second thing that you find under this kind of header is an instruction or a principle I'll put to you is, do not let fears or what others think of you stand in your way. Many of us sit in that, I don't know what if he's going to say. That, you know, I used to, in those days, used to have this Bola Kaja. Bola Kaja, you almost just remind me of Ngige. I'm a VI, and you're a ministry woman. Anyway. But Bola Kaja was a form of transport then, you know, made of wood. There are these buses, wooden buses, and they had benches in them. And like you do have luxurious buses then, they were like that. They used to take them on intra-city and interstate. Now, when you go in, there's no other door, but the same door, you know, it's almost like the way you have the trailers, yeah. So, but this one is a typical on a Bedford truck. So they build it with wood. They open the two sides, and then you go in. There are benches to the side, and there are two in the middle, back to back. So you have like four benches, and this will carry men, women, and goods. That was Bola Kaja. Now, what does Bola Kaja mean? Come down, make we fight. That's Bola Kaja. But in the days we had Bola Kaja, it was one way. Now, do you know that the fear for some, if I see if he sees me, either way, thinking about what Ify will think or what ID will think will make us not enter that mode of transport. There are some of us that are living fake lives. And it's because of the life that we have lived somewhere and we don't want people to know. Once upon a time, Quayside here at Tinubu, we used to buy shirts then. Early days of my career, this is like in the 80s, late 80s, that's where we used to buy shirts, white shirts. And then when you buy it, you go and put blue and then you put some starch. We used to call it Roberto Starchino. And by the time we appear at work, you won't even know that we bought it grade one. So we call it Crique, but we know it's a Crica. Crique. Before Katangwa and all those markets came, no, the Quayside was it. And you go in there and get some very decent shirts, and then you wash them, starch them, and nobody will know. They'll think you got it from the best boutique in the world. But here's what I'm saying. When you get to Tinubu those days, you'll see guys stand from afar and be telling the guy, like they're directing traffic. No, that one. For your right, that one. Size. You know, from a distance, you see some guys talking to the guy selling. You know, pointing to him and saying, no, that one. Size. 15. I know why some guys did that. Because they were living false lives. It's a fear of what others think that I'm buying my shirts. What thing concern me? I'll walk up to the guy. Look at, I used to wear size 17, neck 17. I say, oh boy, you get 17, that three. Buy about three shirts, stand there with my friend or two. We'll look at it. And that's where he actually taught me something. And you can see pair of pants, very nice trousers there. And that's where he actually, the guy would taught me something. He said, Oga, you don't know your waist, just carry and put for your neck. If you want to buy the trouser, you fold it and take it around your neck. If you'll be shocked, it's exactly what your size will be. And that's how we paid for those shirts, wore them. But when I wear them, do you know I bought them at Quayside? But when I start sitting back and saying, I want to, you want to belong, the fear of what others think of you, if it stands in your way, you can't make your life count. You'll be living for others. Why don't you just be a natural? Don't live a false life. everybody has one direction, and it's called a direction called growth. If you choose not to grow, then you decline. Any human being, any living thing has only one direction to show progress. It's called growth. So when you embrace radical truth, and remember I said, truth is the essential foundation for any good outcome. When the arrow of truth shoots, there can never be a trace of falsehood. And when I come next week and I talk to you about cryptic clues, God has put in specific people and circumstances around you. If you are insensitive, that clue is actually the gateway to your blessing, your inheritance, or your promotion. But many of us walk past it because we do not believe in making life count for others. We are so selfish, we are self-centered, and because of that, we miss opportunities big time. And what do? You blame the government. What do? You blame your parents. What do? You blame a generation. Like they'll say, this generation owes us an apology. Who's who? That what happened? That when you came to the world, they told you the generation before you is a problem. If you choose to be a problem in your generation, you'll be a problem. If you choose to be a solution to your generation, you'll become the solution. People will walk to you. Remember the series I took you through, the go-to person. When you will sit like Joseph, that the king will say, a famine is coming, and they go to the king. There's hunger in the land, and the king turns. Pharaoh turns and says, go to Joseph. Whatever he says, do it. Do you have a go-to person? Are you a go-to person? Can someone trust you? If you don't have the iota of being truthful, being open-minded and transparent, you can't be trusted. And when you can't be trusted, you cannot live a legacy-filled life. The other big-ticket item I want to bring out here is about looking to nature to learn how reality works. Friends, let me tell you the truth about life. Almighty God needs to speak to you and I. So he visits us in different ways. Visits us by way of dreams. Ways of visions. So dreams are God's way to communicate with you and I, right? But many of us have dreams. When we take those dreams, do we take those dreams and work on them as reality? So someone says to you, I have a dream. If he has a dream to be a first lady. So assuming that is a dream, I'm on point. So let's assume she's had a dream and she sees there's that dimension. The dream God has given to her is to feed nations. Now the dream God has given to her is to feed nations. She can sit down and say, I have a dream that God has laid it in my heart to feed nations, and does nothing about it. It remains a dream. There are so many dreams like that, and many are gone down 6 feet below because it never moved to reality. So when God-given dreams move to the next phase, so dreams plus reality. Reality is the doing. That you start the process of doing, putting something together. As you're putting something together, as you are walking the talk, not just talking the talk, walking that talk, bringing the dream to life, there are things that will happen. The likes of COVID will come to shake it. It will shake the foundation. It will test the structure that you put together. Elements can come. It could be wind. It could be rain. It could be flood. Anything. Those are vicissitudes of life. Businesses start and they go into some form of coma. The environment may be very hostile, like you have here. Now, government is not talking about the ease of doing business. Does that mean your God-given dream should die? No, that's reality. So, dreams plus reality. In that reality, you begin to tell yourself that I'm going to walk through this, looking for solutions. As you look for solutions, they are go-to persons. As you go to those persons, then you then realize that process becomes determination. So, when you have dreams, you add reality, which is the work, plus determination, then you will have a successful life. So in making life count, it's a process. So many today are saying, I have a dream. I really, but it's just the government is not allowing my dreams come to pass. It's not the government. You are the problem. You must accept it. But here is something I want to say to you. We must look to nature to learn how reality works. We must look to nature. How do we look to nature? Number one, don't get hung up on your views of how things should be, because you will miss out on learning how they really are. When you want to look to nature, let me give you some places you can go to. Go to Obudu, cattle ranch. Obudu. If you've been to the ranch, that's one place you should try to go, Cross River. You will practically touch the skies. You'll see nature in its full glare. You'll get there. The nearest I experienced would be Mount Kenya. There's a particular space called Mount Kenya Safari Club. Then there's Mount Kenya. It's quite close. When you go to a place, stay in the Mount Kenya Safari Club, at about December, at the top of the mountain, you'll see a hue of snow at the head of it. And then you see, if you get up, even at that height, that altitude, you'll see it's almost like having the clouds being so close to you. If you go to Obudu, that's an experience you have, that you can practically put your hands through the cloud. I'm not kidding you. But you know what? If I'm saying it to you, it's not possible. Because you are hung up on your views of how things are. You only stay in Lagos. You've never gone past Lagos. So if I'm telling you about Obudu, you'll never accept it. But nature is a place where you see these things happen. If you move around Africa, God has given us so many things to tell us about the flexibility of life. So even in our country, Olumorok, in our country, Yankari Game Reserve, if the animals are still there, some of them would have run to Chad. they would have run to Chad. God help us, honestly. God will help. This land will be restored and it will come back to full glare. Look at Badagry. Even to get there now, you have to do prayer and fasting to get there. But these are landmarks and areas that nature will speak to you in our own country. If you don't do this, you step out to a place like Kenya. I lived in Kenya for 3 years. And then I went around the entire 8 provinces as it were. And trust me, that you are in Kisumu is very different from what you find in Nairobi. You're very different. You know, you have game theme parks. You go to South Africa, something else. You go in there, just go into nature. One of my best moments in Kenya was when I took the team, we were having one of our management reviews. Then I was at Coca-Cola. I took them right into the game reserve, and that's where we had our reviews, our management reviews, right in the middle of the jungle. Yes, we had rangers, about 4 rangers, but trust me, while we were having the meeting in that tent, most times people were looking out, but we're in the tent, but animals didn't come near. That's a lesson. But you could get hung up. Why did I take the team there? It was risky. Yes, because most of them, when we are about to take on some daring, ambitious targets, I said to the team, our next meeting to start our breakout meeting is going to happen in the safari. And these are colleagues of mine who are Kenyans. Majority of them were Kenyans. I took them into the middle of the safari. They're used to going on safari. Some don't. And by the way, have you discovered something? Go to the US. The average American, just like the average Nigerian, they don't travel around their country. It's a foreigner that will come and tell you about it. Is that so? So many of them, because it's there, the person went near church, 9 they go late. You say, I'm waiting for the father to ring the bell. And if they are from Ife's praise, they will say, they are the praise and you ring. Father is not ringing the bell, so the praise is not starting. Ife, you know what I mean? That's the same way I talk about my people. Yeah. It's time for you to get your own dose. But I hope you do not miss the point I'm making. It's that you must look to nature to see and learn how reality works. Nature is not static, but nature has a process. You cannot put a seed, an orange seed, in the ground and then have guava sprout. No, you cannot go into the field and go into an open space and you see a lion come through. And when you see a lion come through, you're wondering, what is the lion going to eat? It's already provided for. It's called the ecosystem. That ecosystem is working. So it is now for you and I. So to be good, something must operate consistently with the laws of reality. So if they're calling you a good man, you must be consistent in doing good. You cannot, of necessity, be bad once in a while. You must be consistently good. What does it mean? Be your brother's keeper. Let's look at making things happen for others so that things will happen for you. And what is the best way? The best way is not just to sit back, but to contribute to the evolution of the whole. So I'm working in this organization. There's a part that has been given to me. As I do my part, the whole evolves. We all get rewarded because ID has done his part. So it's like a pizza. They're in 8 parts. If I do my part, you do your part, we all do our part, then we have a whole pizza to feed from. But if I don't do my part and you don't do your part, then it's 6 out of 8. At the end of the day, we can't get rewarded. So in making life count, there's a place of being serious about doing. Your dreams, the reality and determination will determine success. But let me close by saying this and we'll take a break. That evolution is one single great force in the universe. Evolution is the only thing that is permanent and it drives everything. If things don't evolve, it's called change. Things must move from one state to the other. If you are going to live a legacy-filled life, you must evolve. You cannot remain. Just look at you. Once upon a time, you're a tiny baby. And you became a little boy. Okay, let me use myself. I became a little boy, a young lad, a teenager, and then a young adult, and then a man. That was process. That's evolution. But today, many of us just want to overtake boy to man. Some don't want to go through that process. And what will happen? Then the process dies. So either you evolve or you die. Same thing for the individual. Same thing for businesses. So your business today is sitting when you do not put people at the centerpiece of what you're doing as a business. Then your business will not evolve. It will ultimately die because it's not about fulfilling or making the lives of others count. Evolution or evolving is life's greatest accomplishment and it is the greatest reward. To an individual, they are called incentives, but it must be aligned with the goals of the group. For a nation like Nigeria to move to that pedestal, it means you and I must become productive. Productivity is tied to our GDP. Many of us see GDP, GDP. GDP is the productivity of you and I. With our population, we should be skyscraping. But now, we are sandbagging because we are not productive. We must begin to optimize for the whole, not just for ourselves. So whatever you are doing, optimize for the whole. Let it be for the common good. Let it be making life count for others. And in the process, we'll go to adaptation. But that adaptation means you and I will be under trial. There will be sometimes we'll try, there's trial and error. But you know what? We'll learn. We'll become better. Don't sit back and say, I'm waiting for when things get better. Things cannot get better. This is now. Let us do it. And trust that God will give us all the clues. And when we talk about that on Tuesday, like I said, you'll see what I mean. Because there are certain things that are, certain foxes are eating the vine. Anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, strife. Those things are taking out the essence of life from us. Yet our blessings are just over the, just over those things that are holding us back. They are the sins that easily beset us. But God will help us. We'll be right back. We'll take a short break. And as we come back, we'll flow into the other segment of the program. Be right back.
This is Navigate with ID.
Welcome back, my dear friends. And just in case you're joining us, we're looking at making life count. And with a perspective that speaks to some principles in life. And one of such, that truth is truth. you cannot change truth. You can say facts are facts that are arguable, but truth is truth. Truth is the essential foundation for any good outcome, and that you need to be radically open-minded and radically transparent. You also need to look to nature to learn how reality works, because dreams plus reality plus determination equals a successful life. And that's where we are coming in to say it's important that you and I understand the lessons that nature, the practical lessons from nature. One of such practical lessons is for you and I to remember, no pain, no gain. If you don't sacrifice today, you can't win tomorrow. I mean, look at our roads. The state government is trying to fix some roads. Look at Apapa Osho, the expressway. It was so painful. The likes of Ife will not understand. But it's only when they are going to the airport, they go through Ikeja. But for some other people who have to live in Isolo, etc., etc., for the past how many months they've gone through it. But now, look at that road. It looks so beautiful and it's a smooth ride. Why? There was a period of pain and now there is a gain. So whatever we have to do as a people to endure hardship as good soldiers, not the ones inflicted on us by our foolishness. Part of our foolishness is that we vote in the people that give us pepper and beans as are the ones that should be giving us brains and thinking or their thoughts. We look at us and look at us and say, come. I mean, without any taking any swipe at my brother, we are the same age. I'm my mate. Nobody say because I'm a minister. It's true. Now, when he's talking about loans, and I ask myself, this man taking all these loans, 30 years, he won't be there. He'll probably be in his 80s, because me and Amechi are the same age. I'm not dissing him. But when I think, are we thinking posterity? So 30 years where Nigerians need to go through that pain. But guess what? It's going to be 30 years of pain. That's too long. Because 30 years ago, when we had the resources to save for our future, we did not. So in other words, you have to understand that we must always maximize any evolution or process we are going through. It is a fundamental law of nature that in order to gain strength, one has to push one's limits, which is painful. We have to push the limits, guys. I don't know how, but I don't know how, you know, in just one spate of time within this administration, we have gone through devaluation upon devaluation. So I pity small, medium enterprise owners like myself who have taken input, young entrepreneurs. I'm just speaking to all of you to understand that, hey, just live on the positive side, because this pain, you have to go through it. If you have to gain on the upside, it's going to be painful. That you bought things at the time dollar was 360. The same things that you bought 360, brought them in. Now you need to pay back. You're going to be paying back at some outrageous rates, ranging from 450, 470, and you may not even get. Yesterday, that exchange happened. I bought a few of that, and it was 475 naira, and I said, wow. So think about that impact on your bottom line. So businesses are going through so much pain. But guess what, friends? I'm saying, and this is my message to you, that you need to continue living. Pain plus reflection equals progress. Go to the pain rather than avoid it. It's going to be momentous, but you go through. Embrace tough love. Don't wait for anybody to come and start pampering you. No, embrace tough love. So you can go through. When you go through, you would have developed thick skin on how to handle it or handle such problems or challenges in future. That's the way it goes. Go look for any successful business mongrel. He's not going to tell you, I see this man is a successful businessman. You need to look at the scars. Any businessman or rich man that cannot show you scars, then he's a fly by night. Those scars must come, but they must be good scars. There are scars that tell you, I'm waiting. There's a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. I'm going there. But it also means that you need to weigh second and third order consequences. Whatever decision you're making now, know that there are consequences. But I want you to do one thing, friends. In making life count, you must own your outcomes. Because for every decision, you must weigh the second, weigh the third order. So there's a first order consequence, there's a second order consequence, there's a third order consequence. For example, there are a lot of parents that are complaining now that their children, they have three children, four children, and the schools in different age bands, they need devices. And they are complaining that they can't. If you do not give and invest in your children, then you understand what the second and third order consequence will be. You think you don't have money to do it, but in that house, daddy, you have a phone. Mommy has a phone. In some cases, two each. One tablet will be in that house. I'm talking about a middle income home. At least there will be a laptop in that home. There will be a tablet in that home. Why are you not able to give your children to use for their virtual work, but you want it for yourself? You know why? Because your children are options and they are not a priority. But it's easy for you to come out and shout, the government is not helping me. They don't understand. What do we do? Yes. And data is cheap. You might say it's expensive. Go to South Africa. You know, the past tense of bow na bew. You go bew. No, if you don't travel, you don't know. Like I said to you, if I tell you Obudu, go to Obudu, and you'll be able to catch, you'll see the clouds just by you. You're holding the clouds. You say, this man don't come. Oje Marina. It's not Oje Marina. If you've not been there, you can't visualize it. At the end of the day, friends, you must own your outcomes. Think of yourself as a machine operating within a machine, and know that you have the ability to alter your machines to produce better outcomes. If you don't, you keep looking at your machine at a low level. If you don't progress and push that machine to a higher level, you cannot make it. You'll be struggling. By comparing your outcomes with your goals, you can determine how to modify your machine. Your machine is your ability, your skill, your competence, your entire physicality, your health. Don't joke with your health. You must distinguish between you as a designer of your machine and you as a worker with your machine. There are many people today that are working in business, but they are not working on their businesses. They are working in their businesses, or vice versa. Some are working on their businesses, they are not working in their businesses. I'm going to open the phone lines for your comments and thoughts. But on Tuesday, like I said to you, expect some life-blowing clues. I call them cryptic clues. And the best place for me to go, like I've referenced the principles from Dalio, given to me by my bros, they are notes that I took from this book I read over a year ago. I'm also telling you, I'm going to reference from the Word of God. I'm going to use the Bible as a reference point to draw some characters and stories to tell you about cryptic clues. And the big question is, the opportunities you have missed are simply because you were not awake. You ignored the clues, and now you have yourself to blame. If you are going to make life count, if you are going to live a legacy-filled life, you need to start doing things differently. And one of such is to accept and embrace reality and deal with it. If you don't, you'll have yourself to blame. On that note, I'll open the phone lines for your comments, for your thoughts. And as always, you know, the numbers to call, 0809-191-3913, 0809-222-0913, and 0809-234-5913. That is the WhatsApp line, so feel free to send a WhatsApp to the 5913 line. And of course, you can tweet at Lagos Talks 913 and tag IDNANG. I just hope that whatever I said made sense, and I hope that people will rise up and begin to look at themselves as the machines. When I say human machine, just think of yourself as a machine operating within a machine, and know that you have the ability to alter your machines to produce better outcomes. Instead of blaming people, you blame your father, you blame your mother, you blame your auntie. Aren't you tired of blaming people? If I sit down now and blame my father, he's 85. What will I blame him? The man has given me education. He paid my fees. How would I blame my mom? That one was forever there. Will I blame my parents? They've given you the currency to change your lives. But Nsansa, someone, you know what they call Nsansa, Ifi? Truancy. You know, when you are truancy, a lot of young people, your parents have labored to send you to school. You now do Nsansa. Shay, I remember I told you my own gist. Moving from primary six, we were going into form one. Then we had my friends who go to Alhaji Masha. Then rather than go for lessons for common entrance, my mom would have fixed some good meal for me. I'll take with me. Cooler, I'll go to school to go to lessons so that I'll have my lunch. Then my friends and I will go under the, just after Masha to the right, the bungalows there behind the stadium. And then we'll pay some paltry sum to ride bikes. And we'll go and rent keke. We did it for 1 week. Then the following Sunday, I forgot that our lesson teacher was a member of our church. So I didn't go to church that day, and my father went to church. So Mr. Sien of blessed memory said to my dad, AJ, I used to call my father AJ, his initials. AJ, I've not seen, is Idoren okay? Didn't see him today, this week, at the lesson. My dad said, which Idoren? If he, any day my dad comes to this part, I think when I'm having my book launch, he'll come. You must meet him and then ask him all those things I'm saying. And one day maybe you will call him. He said, which Idoren? The man said, Idoren, your son. He said, it's not possible. And he said, how? So, you know, I said, truly, he didn't come to lesson. My father said, it's okay. He didn't come. He would tell me where he went to. My father drove in from church with that whole venom. He just sat down before he ate. I wish my mother had served him food. He would have calmed the man down.
Calm down.
He did calm down. For where? Idoren. I said, yes, daddy. He said, where? Bring your lesson notes. So I brought my lesson notes. Of course, they were up to date. Because we had other people that would go and they would give you and you write the next day now. We're filling it in my friend's house. And he said, so, where have you been the whole week? I said, listen, sir. He said, if you tell me lies again, I'll break your head.
Oh,
and he said to me, get me the cane. My younger brother is listening now. He said, get me that cane. And he asked me to go on the center table flat. Oh. And I should embrace it. I embraced and I heard toy. As he was giving me toy, my friend and his father came, Rex and his father. They were coming to visit. He was another culprit.
Oh, my God.
And as he came in, he was telling him how. What? He said, and you two, join him. So he now told Rex's dad that these two have not been going to lessons. And that one turned to his son and said, are you serious? Then I'm going to post you today.
Oh, wow.
It was his turn. He said, no, when we get home. No, Rex now said, daddy, beat me here, please.
Oh, that's a smart choice.
Oh, he said, beat me here instead. Lagos Talks. Oh, okay.
This is coming from Babatunde saying, Uncle Idi, good evening.
Yes,
Ify, well done. You're so inspiring. Hope Ibuka is not disturbing you. Thank you.
Don't go there. Ibuka will find you.
I'm telling you. He's saying, Uncle Idi, you are such an epitome of knowledge. I pray that God will continue to strengthen you and grant all your heart desires.
Amen.
You will continue to remain relevant. You are really a blessing to this generation. Today's lecture, really an outstanding and open-minded, transparent, follow your dream to the realities and determination. Looking at nature, really, I have learned a lot from you as a professional teacher. Once again, you deserve to be president of this country. I believe the youth will support you. Mr. President.
If I catch you. Sorry, guys. Lagos Talks.
Hey.
Bros, who be that?
Ebuka.
Ebuka, then just call your name now. Finish.
Now I call that guy.
Why are you always in a noisy environment?
Ebuka is always on the move. Okay.
Hello,
bye.
Okay, sir. I do. I call to say, okay, can be saving life, sir. You see,
not be today,
not be today. So, even up to today, save. Go to Shady. You see, they save life.
They save, you save me that time. I know, lie. I followed you, Okrika.
Why are you calling my name?
I told you, this guy.
So, you know, tell us, see, you see, Lagos Talk. We go there. Baba, I didn't go there. We were going to ask him. Baba,
thank you, Buka. Oh, thank you.
Oh, my goodness. This is coming from listener, you didn't mention your name, saying, good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the teaching. I've really learned a lot. But, sir, please, I don't get the part of pain plus reflection.
Yeah, I'm saying that, you know, in order for you to assess how well you've done progress-wise, you know, there's a pain period. And when you go through that pain and you reflect on it, it will be progress. You know why? Just the same way you and I went through the COVID period when we had the lockdown. There was so much pain. People were not feeding. Some were stranded. But looking back, you now realize, see, all those clothes you bought this year on credit, you've not worn one to anywhere. Have you died? 8 months or 5-6 months. Have you died? The answer is no. So there's been so much waste that we have accommodated into our lives. But that little threshold of the lockdown, that you didn't go to anywhere to wear those fancy clothes, to do the fancy things, to the fanciest people that do not consider you fanciable, you realize you're just wasting resources. Think about it. So what I'm saying is pain plus reflection equals progress. And I used it as an opportunity to encourage a lot of the young businesses, young, small, medium enterprises like myself. Because right now, it's not, the economy is not smiling. If you are an employer, you can't be smiling. If you are someone whose business requires a tinge of forex inputs, you are in trouble. Think about it, they're big multinationals, they're brands. I was managing director for, and I sat, you know, on the board of several companies. Let me tell you the truth. They're going to be going through tough times. They'll be going through tough times. I know. I can't speak to or call names, but I know that they're going through tough times. You know why? They've not moved their prices. Yet, the cost of inputs have gone up. Now, the rate at which they were buying this ingredient was $1. That $1 was $3.60. Now, that dollar is $4.50. And price has not moved. Lagos Talks.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Who's calling?
Yeah, my name is Daisy. I'm calling in to navigate with ID.
Okay. Ebi, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, go ahead, friend. We have less than 2 minutes to go. We need to knock off.
All right. I want to appreciate your program.
Thank you, sir.
I latched onto your program by chance about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, you're welcome.
And since then, I've been following, and believe me, you've caused some changes in me.
Oh, thank you, AB.
Initially, it was hard. Like, sometimes I ask myself, why is this guy so hard to me? When I realized that you weren't really talking, you didn't know me, but you were just hitting the nail on the head. If you don't mind, I call, I say, Uncle ID.
Please, feel free.
Okay. Yeah. I think there appears to be this disconnect between the generation of my parents and the upcoming generation. And I know technology has been a blessing, but somehow it has created a perception, or what do I call it, that the young people think everything comes in an instant. Technology has made things so easy. So they think life, everything is just start now, finish. No process in anything. And so it's difficult sometimes making them to understand that this thing, life follows the process.
Yeah.
Yes. And what I know, sometimes transmitting that knowledge to them is... they have this thing in their mind. There are people, young people like them, that they know that are into millions all of a sudden. And when you are trying to tell them there is a process to get there, they are not paying attention because they think they think they can be like.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. So nobody is willing to learn process. I don't know. What do people like us, I'm in my 40s.
Okay.
What do people like us begin to tell them? To let them know that they can be schooled through process.
Okay, let me quickly answer the question. Process is pain plus reflection. Process equals progress. Now, one thing that you would tell them is more telling the story and also being able to have a fusion. So, for example, I, sitting here today, appreciate technology and I use it. But I use it with every iota of responsibility to allow me achieve a desired outcome. Asking others who are strong in areas where you are weak to help you is a great skill that you should develop no matter what. So if they need to have that skill exchange, you need to appreciate, that is us, need to, the older ones, need to appreciate what they are going through, see from their lenses, and be able to walk and weave ourselves through their lenses to be able to help them. Because that's what will help you develop the guardrails. So you're asking me about the guardrails now. The guardrails will come when we all equally exchange, go to that exchange. Not the stock exchange, but the skill exchange and the strength exchange. My time is up, so I need to run. I'm so sorry, everyone. We'll continue. But remember, on Tuesday, I'm really going to delve into cryptic clues as a way to make life count for every one of us. Thank you so much, my Oga at the top.
Thank you.
High frequency.
Thank you, Uncle Ike.
We'll see you again.